Okay, it'll warm up. Well, boys and girls, it is wonderful to be here in beautiful, sunny Bendigo in Victoria, the Southland. Well, I suppose Tasmania is the Southland, but it's really, really good. I want to give you a little sort of a Bible study this morning, not for very long, so please pay attention and listen very closely. You know, there's sports in the Bible. I don't know if there's any sports nuts here. Any sports nuts? Yeah, there's a few sports nuts. You know, my wife doesn't like footy. She doesn't like footy. We've been married nearly 34 years, and I've tried to get my wife to like rugby league, okay? I know it's a funny sport to you Southerners here, Victorians. And, you know, she just does not like rugby league. In fact, we were only married a few years, and I took her out to a football game at the SCG. It was a rugby league game. It was Australia versus New Zealand in a test match. She fell asleep. You know why she doesn't like rugby league? She says it's too violent. There is one sport she really likes. It's bull riding. And I said to her, but listen, rugby league players are wimps compared to bull riders, you know. But anyway, I think the Apostle Paul actually liked sports. He definitely related to certain sports, and that's what I want us to look at this morning. Now, you might be thinking, where is this fella going this morning? You will see. Bible sports. You reckon there is chariot racing in the Bible? I don't know. We do know that they had chariots in the Bible. We know that for sure. And, you know, and we still have chariot races now. But, you know, there was a fella in the Bible. His name was Jehu. And he drove furiously. And actually, there's quite a few stories in the Old Testament about chariots. Now, whether they had chariot racing or not, I don't know. Maybe they did. They did in Ben-Hur, didn't they? But of course, that wasn't Bible. That was just a movie. But there were some sports in the Bible. There was sword fighting in the Bible. We actually learned about that in the Sunday school lesson this morning, about a fellow with a sword. He killed so many people with his sword that his hand got stuck to the handle of the sword. But you know, in the Bible, maybe not sword fighting, but do you know that we are supposed to use the sword? The Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So yes, even though it may not be a sport, Christians are supposed to use their sword. And we sing about it, we teach about it, but this book is the sword, the Bible says, the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. And so we must use our Bible. We can use it defensively, we can use it offensively, but Christians are supposed to use the Word of God. That's why One Way is so important, because you come to One Way, what do you learn at One Way? The Bible. It is our sword. We are to use the sword of the Spirit. Well, there's another sport in the Bible. Anyone done some weightlifting? Yeah, I was never much good at weightlifting. But I tell you what, if you saw the Olympics, I think this fellow was from the Rio Olympics. But some of these fellows are very, very strong. And boy, oh boy, I don't know how they lift. He doesn't look very happy, does he? But you know there's weightlifting in the Bible. Galatians 6:2, look at this verse. It says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, as Christians, those of us who know the Lord, we are to do some weightlifting at times. Now, not with physical iron and steel, but we are to bear the weights of others or the burdens of others. You know, that's part about being a Christian. Part about being in God's family is that we can be weightlifters. We can bear one another's burdens because burdens come to all of us. Now, the mums and dads know all about burdens. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's financial burden. Maybe it's a relationship burden. Maybe it's something. Who knows? But we all have these burdens. And if I was to ask, I'm not going to, but if I was to ask for a show of hands today, for those who have some heavy burdens at the moment, I'm sure there'd be a lot of people who would put their hands up and say, yeah, I am really struggling under the weight of something at the moment. Hey, if you're a Christian, now I know not everyone here is a Christian, but if you are a Christian, you know Jesus is your Saviour, then it's up to us to bear one another's burdens and to help them to lift that load. Three quick words if you want a little outline for this. Prayer, care and share. Prayer, we are to pray for one another. Someone has a burden, pray for them. We are to care for one another. We must care. You know, sometimes people just need an ear. They need someone to listen to them. Oftentimes when we can unload a burden on someone else, it does us the world of good. They say you shouldn't keep things on the inside. You should share your burdens. And so sometimes as Christians, we just need to listen and then to share. Sometimes we have things in our lives that we can give to others. So if someone else has a burden, we can give something of what we have to them to help them lift that weight or lift that burden. So always remember, when you see someone weightlifting, as Christians, sometimes we are supposed to lift the weights of others. Here's another sport in the Bible. Wrestling. Yeah, I have never actually seen much wrestling. I know I used to wrestle my brother when we were little kids. And, of course, I always used to win, because I was older than him, and I'd get him in the headlock, you know. But I don't know if I was much good at wrestling. Anyone ever done me wrestling? Yeah, not the professional stuff, that's all fake. I mean, this is real stuff, this. And you have to be very, very strong to be wrestling. I don't even know the rules of wrestling, but I do know that there are people that have wrestling. I think in America it's quite big in the colleges there. People wrestle. Now, in the Bible, we learn quite a bit about wrestling. But I want to just share one verse with you. Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know, the Christian life sometimes is wrestling. Who's ever wrestled with something? You know, not someone else. We're not there to go and wrestle with our neighbour, but we wrestle, and the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not that sort of wrestling. We wrestle on a spiritual realm. And sometimes and oftentimes the Christian life, we are wrestling. We are wrestling against evil forces. We are wrestling against the devil. We are wrestling against the flesh. We are wrestling against the world. Sometimes we wrestle what is right and what is wrong. And the Apostle Paul said, you know, we are wrestling. He says, you better realise we need to understand who our enemy is, the devil. We need to understand that we are wrestling against our own flesh. We are wrestling against the world. And it's not easy. It's not easy to wrestle against something. And sometimes we wrestle, you know, sometimes to find the will of God in your life, you wrestle. Sometimes for years. Sometimes for weeks. Lord, I'm wrestling with something. I just can't seem to get over it. And we must realise that it's spiritual. It's a spiritual battle. Well, here's another sport in the Bible. Boxing. Now, I was never much of a boxer. You know, when I played rugby league at school, I used to start the fights, but then I'd run behind the big players and let them carry on with the fight. I wasn't much good of a boxer. But, you know, boxing's for some good. I know a fella in South Australia, and he became a Christian about 15, 16 years ago, and maybe a little bit longer. But he was Australian lightweight champion. And he's a friend of mine, and he's only a little fella. Of course, lightweights are only little. But you can tell he's a boxer because his nose is all flattened. And he's got cauliflower ears. And he spent a lot of time in the ring punching and being punched. And he was a professional boxer, and he was very, very good. But you know, the Apostle Paul actually talked about boxing. In 1 Corinthians 9, and the Apostle Paul was often teaching us and using illustrations from real life, you know, soldiers and farmers and so on. And in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, "So fight I, not as one that beateth the air." What was he talking about there? Now, as I said, I'm not much of a boxer, but evidently I've seen boxers train and so on. And I can beat the air pretty well. As long as I'm not actually fighting someone, I can look pretty good as a boxer. It's like when I play cricket. If there's no one bowling at me, I can play all the shots, you know. But the Apostle Paul said, he said, I'm in a fight, and he's using boxing as a metaphor, as an example. He said, but I'm not actually shadow boxing. I'm not sparring into a mirror. He said, I'm actually fighting. Now, of course, he wasn't talking about literal fighting in a ring. He was talking about the Christian life, and sometimes it's like a fight. Because we have enemies. And sometimes it's like we're in a boxing match. I'm talking about something called temptation. Whoever fights with temptation? Anyone ever fight with temptation? Yeah, we'd all need to raise our hands there. We are tempted, and sometimes you have those days you get tempted, and oh boy, it's as though you've been in the ring all day. You're tempted to do wrong, and then, you know, sometimes as a Christian, we're in this fight, and we're against temptation, and whack, the old devil lands one on the nose. Or our flesh, bang, lands one on the chin, and down we go. And sometimes we might lose a round or two. In other words, we give in to temptation and sometimes we lose a round. Thankfully for the Christian, we can get up again. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But old Paul, he said, yeah, he said, I'm in a fight. He said, this is a real fight. Old Billy Sunday, the old preacher, used to say, yeah, he said, I'm gonna keep fighting the devil. He says, as long as I've got strength, I'm going to keep fighting the devil. And if you're a Christian, you're going to be fighting for the rest of your days. There's a wonderful verse in the Bible that says, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was Paul who said, in 2 Timothy, he said, I've finished fighting. He was getting right to the end of his life. He said, I don't have to fight anymore. Well, there's one last sport, and we're nearly finished this morning. And thank you, boys and girls, for being so attentive this morning. There's one last sport that I can find in the Bible, and it's the sport of running. Who remembers seeing Usain Bolt? Did anyone see him in the Olympics just past? Isn't he awesome to watch, eh? Oh, I've never seen anyone like it. And, of course, when he runs, no one can even get anywhere near the fella. But, of course, in the Bible, we learn about running. The running race in the Bible is not a sprint. Are there any good sprinters here? Yeah, I was hopeless at sprinting, eh? I was so slow. But the running in the Bible was actually the marathon. And the marathon is a very, very... Any marathon runners here? Anyone? Any long-distance runners up the back there? No? No? Oh, there's one there, okay. Yeah, for me, 50 yards was a long-distance run for me. And... in fact, any distance was long. I didn't like running. But marathon runners and long-distance runners, they are amazing athletes. They really are. They run and they run. And you know, the Bible, when it talks about, and let's go to our verse here, Hebrews 12:1, the author says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So if you're in the Christian life, the Bible says, you're in a race. Whether you like it or not, you're in a race. And it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And we need to run that race. Okay, here's a couple of points about the race and then I'll close this morning. Number one, only the saved are in God's race. Only the saved. You say, what does it mean to be saved? What does that word mean? To be saved means to be saved from your sins. You see, we are all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners, and we deserve punishment, judgment, and hell. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth. He is God, but he became a little baby. That's what Christmas is all about. He lived a perfect life for 33 years, and they crucified him, and his blood was shed, and he became the payment, or if you put it this way, he became the substitute for my sin and your sin. In fact, Romans 5 puts it this way, but God commendeth or demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And because he died for us and took our place, if we'll believe that what he did was sufficient for us, we can be saved. Saved from the penalty of our sin, saved from power of sin, and eventually saved from even the presence of sin. That's the sin question. That's the thing we have to confront. But those who trust Christ as their Saviour are saved. Not religious, but saved. So only the saved are in God's race. And then we're not racing against each other. Someone says, well, have I got to run against my brothers and sisters in the Lord? No, no, no. No, we each have our own race to run. Number three, we must run according to the rules. In Timothy, it talks about we must run lawfully. There's certain things about the Christian race, and of course we find out about how to live the Christian life in God's Word. Number four, we'll win if we finish well. We'll win if we finish well. And number five, there is a prize for every winner. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, I've finished fighting, I've come to the end of my race, and there's laid up for me a reward, a crown of righteousness. There's a prize for those who finish well. Well, boys and girls, mums and dads, that's the end of our little story this morning, but here's the application this morning. Just one, and we could say a lot of things, but we don't have time this morning. But here's the application. Are you in God's race? Are you part of the saved? Do you know Christ as your Saviour? I'm not saying, are you a member of the church? Are you religious? Are you moral? I'm not saying any of those things. I'm saying, do you know Christ as your Saviour? Because that's the question you have to confront. The problem is sin. And the remedy for that sin is not religion or a church. The remedy for that sin is a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. The gospel, the word gospel means good news. And as I mentioned before, the good news is that Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again. And he will be your saviour. He will save you from your sins. He will forgive your sins. He will give you a home in heaven. He will make you part of God's family if you just come unto him by faith. You say, what's faith? Faith is believing. Nothing more. It's believing. Someone says, do I have to try and work my way? No, that's not faith. That's not faith. Faith is believing that what Jesus did for you on the cross was good enough. And it was good enough. Romans 10 and verse 13 says, and let me quote it to you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I know there's numbers in the building today have done that. They've bowed their head and they've asked Jesus Christ to save them from their sins, and he has. And he's come into their life and he's changed their life. But maybe there's someone here, maybe it's one of the boys or girls, maybe it's one of the mums or dads or visitors. Maybe it's someone who's been coming to church for years. I don't know your heart. And maybe you've never ever asked Christ to save you. Hey, you can ask him to save you today by faith. Let's have all heads bowed and eyes closed. In just a moment, I'll hand back to Mr. Andrew to come and just close off the meeting. But maybe there's someone here this morning, and you would say in your heart of hearts, I don't know that I am a Christian. I don't know that Jesus lives in my life. But I see my need this morning, and I understand that my sins have banked up over the years, and I really need to have them forgiven. And I would like Jesus in my life today. Hey, you might like to pray a little prayer, just you and the Lord, and say something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. I deserve hell and judgment. But I believe you were my substitute and you died in my place. On the basis of your death, burial and resurrection, I now call on you to save me. Forgive my sin. And make me part of God's family. This day, I believe. We thank you, dear Lord, for your word. Thank you for the boys and girls that have come to One Way. Thank you for the leaders who've given of their time. And Lord, I pray that you'll work in our lives this morning. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And while Mr. Andrew comes, just a closing comment. If you've got a question about the Christian life or what it is to be a Christian or something, while we have lunch, I'd be happy to talk with you, open the Bible, and try my best to answer any questions you have from God's Word. Thank you, brother.